You're listening to This Podcast is for Powerful Dynamite Women, episode number 31. Yes, you heard correctly. This podcast is for powerful dynamite women. I have enhanced my podcast name to its rightfully full name instead of just This Podcast is for Women. This podcast is for powerful dynamite women. Now, in this episode, I'm speaking with my friend and co-coach, Valerie Green. Valerie is really a very unique type of coach. She works in a lot of healing modalities, and she knows so many techniques and methods, and I really love any opportunity to speak with her. And in this episode, we talk about anxious and avoidant attachment styles. Now, I am a person who says, focus on how you feel, not so much the label or the word. But I really think Valerie brings up some great points in understanding how we're having a dance with our partners, whether we are anxious or avoidant. And just we talk a little bit all over the place about a lot of really interesting things. I believe you will really enjoy this podcast episode and learn more about Valerie's work over on her website, CoachValerieGreen.com. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoy this episode and see you next week.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone. This is Adrienne Everhart, your feminine energy dating, relationship, and lifestyle coach. On this episode of This Podcast is for Women, I have a very special guest, Valerie Green. Valerie is also a coach, and today we're going to be talking about transforming anxiety into confidence and healing your anxious attachment. So hi, Valerie. I'm so happy you're here to be part of my podcast.
Hi, Adrienne. I love your podcast and I love your work. And so I always love sharing this information. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get started. Before I do, I want to tell my audience just a little bit about Valerie and what she does. She is a very much a unique relationship mentor. She's also an author and a speaker, and she really helps women inspire their man to fulfill their deepest needs and desires. Now, she has a highly successful alternative to relationship therapy. Valerie helps women and couples create a secure emotional connection, not just problem solving or communication skills. So below in the links, I'm going to share her book with you and her website, and also a place you can visit and get a free gift called Break Free of Old Patterns and Attract Lasting Love. Valerie is a very unique coach, and I'm really honored to have her on my podcast and speak about how we have anxiety in our relationships and how we can really get back on track and identify our attachment styles so that we can feel better dating and exploring our relationships in all parts of our lives. So welcome, Valerie. What would you like to share with us?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I mean, we were just chatting before this just about what it means to transform anxiety into courage. And I know that a lot of us have heard, well, courage is feel the fear and do it anyway. But we know what tries to happen when we muscle through, especially when it comes to dating and relationship anxiety, right? So I want to caveat that this is about how to heal anxious attachment, which is, by the way, not a pathology. 20% of the population has an anxious attachment style. And so there's nothing wrong with you. I want to say that. It's not about healing generalized anxiety disorder, because I'm not a therapist, right? But like, if your life is basically okay, but as soon as you get into a relationship, you start to freak out and wonder why he hasn't called and ruminate about fantasies about him, you know, cheating on you. Or if you're married, you're just harping on like he's not pulling his own weight and I'm telling him what to do and he's not doing it. That all comes out of fear. And what happens, and this is both from a law of attraction perspective, but it's also just from a psychological perspective, I'm happy to, and a scientific perspective, I can speak about all three, is that, but we all know from the law of attraction that you, whatever you put out, you get back, right? So the thing is, like, that's why you don't, I mean, yes, we all talk about sharing our feelings, but if what you say is, I'm disappointed that you didn't call. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I want you to be authentic, and having courage and being in the heart, which I'll talk about, is not about pretending that you're not angry or disappointed and just being nice, because that's actually self-abandonment. But what I mean is, courage actually comes from the heart. It actually, the word courage is a French, it comes from the French word cœur. Which means heart, and you know, I call it courage.
That's
just like, I know, kind of kitschy, but I like it.
Tell me a little. So disappointment is a word that tell my girls, like, avoid saying disappointment, and instead, like, find what you're feeling outside of that person. Because for me, my anxious attachment, how it was defined for me, was I need you to behave and do and say, I need you under my control to make me happy. And so when a person doesn't make me happy, I'm disappointed. And I always try to go a little bit deeper and go, okay, what am I really feeling? What am I really feeling? And like, where can I own that feeling? So how does that resonate, like, in alignment with your work when it comes to feeling anxious in a new relationship?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love what you just said, because I know when I interviewed you for my podcast, you talked about the emotional parfait. And I love that analogy, because what you're talking about is like anger or annoyance might be on the surface, and then disappointment is underneath that. It is a softer feeling. So notice that anger is more likely to push someone away. If you're like, I'm angry because you didn't call, versus I'm disappointed, it is softer. It's just still coming from fear. And so, you know, what happens from a law of attraction perspective is, if I put fear out, I'll get fear back, right? Because what you put out comes back to you. And so if I say I'm disappointed and he's having a good day and he's emotionally available, then yes, you know, he's my husband, for example, is emotionally available. And when he's having a good day, 80% of the time, he can hear my disappointment and ask me what I'm needing, and we can solve it, right? And if he's not having a good day, if he's stressed, if, you know, like, we're just disconnected, then he will be pushed away. And so avoidance is also fear. So when, like, that's the thing, like the anxious avoidant dance, 75% of couples get caught in this push-pull dynamic where one person gets needy and demanding and pushy when they get anxious. And then that actually makes the other person feel inadequate. Like, I can't do it right. And so then what they do, the behavior, is then they get pushed away, which also comes from fear and avoidance, right? They both come from fear, but then that makes the anxious person more anxious, and then they get more need demanding, and then the other person withdraws more. And it's this vicious cycle. I mean, my husband and I get caught in that sometimes.
So
it's horrible.
It's a terrible feeling of, and it's almost like you can't get out of it. It's like being caught in a rip current.
Right.
Tell me, what do you think is the fear? What is the fear we're all feeling that we can't identify and we call it disappointment, or we avoid instead? What do you think's really going on?
Exactly. And thank you for asking that question, because we'll go back to the emotional parfait. I mean, because it is a parfait. It actually goes many layers deep. And the deepest layer is the it takes the most courage to go to the deepest layer. But at the deepest layer, it's enjoying that what we want is on its way and being able to express our inspired vision for what we want and what it provides for us, mm-hmm. right? And expressing mm-hmm. that, because that's what's at the bottom, right? But what we're afraid of underneath, what we think we're afraid of, which is like him not calling or whatever, that's what we think, or him being with another woman, which is scary, of course, and horrible. But what we would fear underneath that is being abandoned and being alone. And underneath that, we fear that we would be helpless and we wouldn't be able to help ourselves. So we would be alone and lonely and helpless and then get depressed about it. Like that's usually the fear. And women with anxious attachment usually ruminate on that fear. I know I do when I go to my deepest, darkest place, which is why I teach all my own tools, because I have to use them.
Yeah. Right. You know, abandonment is a huge part of it. And if anyone has even remotely had a parent abandon them, which I think we probably almost all have, whether it was just emotionally dropping out or, you know, having such self-interest in other things, or just totally abandoning your child, like, and just, you know, cutting off contact with them, whatever it is you experienced. You know, like the other day, my husband was coming back from an errand and he was running a little bit late. And I just tried calling him to make sure everything was okay. And he didn't pick up his phone. And that feeling kicked in. Mm-hmm. Like right there, like as secure and as happy as I am, that feeling kicked in of what if he has somehow changed his mind about me? Or what if he's gotten into an accident and I have lost him? And it's this horrible feeling of abandonment, because mm-hmm. abandonment can happen, you know, a lot of different ways. Death is a form of abandonment, you know.
Of course.
And so how are we supposed to like unzip our hearts and love someone and be in the moment and, you know, appreciate all the beauty of this world when we have this abandonment feeling, you know, hanging so close? How are we supposed to do that? What tools do you go to for a person with that?
Yes, that is exactly the right question. How are we supposed to handle it? Because, I mean, I will say, you know, relationships are not for the faint of heart. It takes courage, right? That's the attitude that we have to bring to it first, that we can open our heart to it. But what it requires is being able to, first of all, I actually really like Margaret Paul teaches this, I think, more than anyone else, only the definition of abandonment is being left by somebody that you need for survival. And so little kids are dependent. I mean, children under 18 are dependent, but both physically and emotionally. So I like that you said that, because even if your parents were emotionally unavailable, that's going to occur to your younger parts as abandonment. And that could create an anxious attachment style. And people that are disabled in any way, shape, or form are dependent, you know, and that's, you know, as it should be, like there are legitimate people that are dependent. There's nothing wrong with being dependent. It's just that true, and what I imagine that our listeners and viewers long for is not codependence, which is an adult who is still dependent on someone else and feels dependent on someone else for survival, because we actually have to learn how to be independent before we can have interdependence. And so that's working with our beliefs first, and then of course doing the deeper healing somatic work, because I believe that both are important for healing anxious attachment, because the wounds that caused anxious attachment were created from 0 to 2. So it's like, in my opinion, I don't think just working with the conscious beliefs is enough for most people. It is for some. Like I've worked with some, because it's all across the board, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are right on the edge and they're willing to do the work. And like I worked with one woman who had anxious attachment, and like all we worked on was her beliefs about, you know, what was possible and that this guy in front of her wasn't willing to change because she wasn't attracted to something about him. We worked with her beliefs and like she was willing to let go and have courage to get past her anxiety. And she actually realized that the guy she was dating was more attractive to her mm-hmm. since she worked through her limiting beliefs. So I'm not saying that just the belief work isn't enough. It can be. I just find that the somatic work and the deeper inner child work mm-hmm. and the shadow work is also really important. So I'm happy to talk about all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you're saying because it is for everyone so unique. Our attachment styles. I kind of look at my attachment style or my any anxiety I have about, you know, losing a person as really, I don't think it's ever going to go away. And I don't want it to go away. It's absolutely part of me. What I do is when it pipes up, and it usually is a very fearful child, like you said, fearful of not being able to make it without this other person helping me. Now, let me tell you, I have been abandoned. I have been left in some situations where I was sort of hung out to dry, and you find a way to get your life back together. You know, you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. And I think it's just understanding that whatever comes my way, I'm going to handle it. You know, yeah,
that is the positive belief.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I can handle this. I can make it, and there will be someone else, you know, or whatever it is I'm meant for. So before we started recording, you and I talked a little bit about pain mm-hmm. and how so much of this, you know, anxious attachment or just fearful dating, anxiety in dating, it's really about we're wanting to avoid pain. And it's like the mm-hmm. more you try to avoid pain, the bigger it gets somehow.
Yep, I know.
What are your feelings on that?
Totally. I like that quote that what you resist persists.
Oh yeah.
If you try to shove down something down, you get it more. And that's, I mean, if you look at that through a law of attraction perspective, it's like, I can geek out on the law of attraction as well, because people think like, oh, if I think that negative thought, then, or if I have the courage to feel the pain, if I feel the pain, won't I get more pain? And it's just like, okay. The law of attraction is you attract who you're being. It's not just like, otherwise, you know, everybody who is like, I have $1 million. You just manifest $1 million tomorrow, right? It's not just like whatever you think you're going to get. It's whatever you actually believe you deserve, whatever all parts are in alignment, because we have different parts of us. And if part of you doesn't want something, if part of you, so the question to ask yourself around that is what, if you really have this amazing relationship with this available man who is, you know, there when you need him, and when, you know, you have mutual security and passion and joy, mm-hmm. right? Like, what might you lose that you value?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are invited to join my online coaching community, iHeart Love Academy. On my private app, you can attend a monthly class and receive coaching with me. You can also explore guest coaches and speakers, post your questions and receive help from my coaching community, or offer advice to a fellow Diamond Girl. You also have access to our growing library list of classes and workshops, plus group member chat. There's so much fun in this group, and I especially love the supportive community. You can join iHeart Love Academy and receive 3 days free and enjoy as many classes as you like, then join on a monthly basis. You can cancel at any time. To join us, head on over to diamondgirl.me/group. That's diamondgirl, diamondgirl.me iheartlovacademy.com/group. I can't wait to see you in the group at iHeart Love Academy. Hi, this is Adrienne Everhart, and I'm curious. Are you ready to attract a loving partner and create your very own happily ever after? Maybe you've seen my growing list of testimonials on my Instagram page, or somehow you've been drawn to my work with feminine energy. I've helped a lot of women find true love, get engaged, married, and some even remarried. I want to help do the same wonderful thing in your life. I want to share Fem Tools for Dating. It's a program on my website and it's waiting for you. You see, dating can feel really difficult, and I teach you how to go from feeling invisible and intimidated online to creating connection with men and calling forth quality men into your life. Step by step, I guide you from the very first hello to happily ever after. I teach you so many feminine energy tools along the way and so, so much more. Now, if you want a coach that gets results and has methods that have helped women all over the world, Fem Tools is available when you need it. So head on over to my website. That's Everhart Coaching, E-V-E-R-H-E-A-R-T Coaching, and look for Fem. That stands for Feminine Energy Mindset Method. Trust me, ladies, this very affordable program does not disappoint.
Because if part of you doesn't want it, then you're going to sabotage it somehow. And that's just the deeper healing work. And so my point is, it's kind of painful to admit this about ourselves, right? And it's also painful to feel the sensations of abandonment, right? Like, let's say, and we can use that example. I mean, I don't want to put you in the spotlight. I have the same fear come up like sometimes when my husband doesn't call or whatever. So it's very common, right? And so we can kind of go back and forth like about the emotional parfait, and I can talk about mine, right? Like, so my emotional parfait there, because this is what it means to like have the courage to really feel the sensations of pain, to get to the other side, because we attract who we're being. Right. So like, if there's a voice inside of me that says, I'm going to die, this is just too unbearable, the thing that it takes the courage to ask is, how old is that voice? And to admit that I'm bigger than that voice, and that there's a bigger, larger part of me. So a big part of what I help my clients do is to develop a healthy mother and a healthy inner father. Yeah. So this is like the parts work and the shadow work.
Yeah.
That can then turn towards the inner child and say, oh my God, honey, like, what would you do if you had your own child come to you and say, I'm so helpless, I'm going to die if the boy that I have a crush on doesn't like me? You wouldn't like just say that's not true, right? In like a cold tone of voice, you would pick her up. And so this is how to be with pain, is to see that part of you is, how would you be with your child when your child's in pain?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not self-pity. It's compassion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's, oh my God, honey, tell me more. Tell me what you like about this boy. What's so great about him?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's so many other boys that are that great. You would lovingly help her to recognize the beauty and the truth inside of her. But that's not there on the surface. Like, I don't know about your inner child, but my inner child argues with me, right?
Well, you know, you did two things there I liked. It's one is that you use this diminutive language with her. And I think that's really, honey, oh, sweetie, oh, sweet one. I think that's really good to do. And then the second thing, and this is something you and I talked about in our emails, is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so often you get that, you know, that feeling, and we immediately just want to like shut it down, get back to work. That's really masculine.
Exactly. That is exactly masculine energy. And it's also just avoidance, which I don't think avoidance is masculine or feminine.
It just
but shutting it down to get back to work is masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Shutting it, sometimes shutting it down to like feel pleasure instead can be feminine. Yes.
Well, in a way, it's just like, I don't have time to listen to you. You know, yeah. I don't have time to listen to you. We have to go do this other action. We have to go do this other thing. And feminine energy is really slowing down and taking your time. I'm going to listen to your complaint. I'm going to hear you, but we're still going to go do or be whatever it is we want to do or be. Right. You know, just because you're listening to the anxiety and you're hearing its complaints doesn't mean that you have to not go to work that day or
exactly.
Yeah, or not return this guy's phone call. You know, I had a client recently who said she's using a matchmaker service. And I should probably give her to you because I think you guys might be a better match because she's using a matchmaker service. And she said, you know, she's vetting the guy before the date, which is something I don't recommend you do. But his zip code was in a part of town that is not as wealthy or as successful as her part of town. And she wants to marry someone who is as successful as her, if not more. So she's like, I should just cancel this date. And I'm like, that's sabotage. Like, you could be meeting someone and having a wonderful situation, but you're sabotaging because you're finding something wrong with that person. You're finding a reason already to not love them or like them, or at least meet them and practice on them. So do you run into scenarios like that with people where they're sabotaging their relationships or finding something wrong? And then how do you address that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, what I would say is that if we want something and all parts of us are in alignment with it, especially with romantic relationships, because there's plenty of good quality men out there. I mean, I coach women to meet quality men every day. I know you do too, right? So it's like there is abundance with love. And if you're married, like if he's not giving you attention, there's a valid reason and you work through that. And then he wants to give you just as much as he did in the beginning. There's just something in the way. Mm-hmm. He's sabotaging, you're sabotaging. But if we judge sabotage, remember what you put out, you get back. Who you're being, you attract who you're being. So if you're abandoning your inner child to get work done, then you'll attract a man who's going to abandon your inner child too. I know I'm saying that kind of in a harsh way, but it takes courage to admit the truth.
I love that you're talking about this because, and you probably know this term better than I do, but we have these mirror cells that really reflect and pull.
Oh, mirror neurons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's science behind a lot of this. It's not just woo philosophy, but just really attracting what we put out there. So what if you do have a fear though? You do have like a legitimate fear about something or someone, and it's something you've experienced before and you don't want to encounter it again.
Yeah, that is
from attracting them.
Right. That's a really valid question. And so what I would say is it's always about going deeper into the parfait. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to finish the example about my parfait, yeah. Where, you know, if you didn't call, like, yes, there's disappointment. And then I would be with my inner child and I would then ask her, you know, I'd reprogram her limiting beliefs. I'd make her feel like she deserves it. Right. But then once she feel like she deserves it, he still didn't call. How do I communicate about it? It's about recognizing that underneath the disappointment, there's always a desire. It's shifting my vibe into getting in touch with what's my vision? What does him calling provide for me? How good do I feel when I have it? Right. And then like, what is my deeper vision around what is interdependence? And like, when I first met my husband, he actually has an anxious attachment style. And I'm starting to realize that I have a little bit of a vestige of perhaps ambivalent, just because my dad was simultaneously loving and emotionally unavailable and emotionally unsafe mm-hmm. sometimes. And so it's like, ambivalent attachment is caused by that kind of flip-flopping and it not really being safe. Like your parent is loving, but not totally safe. And so it's like both of us have attachment issues. And so we actually geek out on this stuff all the time, which is great. But like when I met him, like he was working with a therapist himself who told him to read a book on attachment. And so he did. And he realized that he had an anxious attachment style too. So it's like, but the point is you attract somebody who's willing to do the work if you're willing to do the work. So because I was willing to go deeper into my vision, then I could describe to him my vision for interdependence is like, you know, you're scared of losing your freedom by being with a woman. Well, I want to share with you that, like, what if I was your partner to point out the ways you're sabotaging yourself so that you could actually have more freedom to go after what you want? And you do that for me. Yeah. Like, what if we had that kind of partnership where we don't play small and we don't restrict each other? We find these win-win solutions. And I explained to him that if I'm feeling something and needing something, I don't need it to be the way I want. Even if I sound demanding, I'm not. I need him to know that that comes out of anxiety. And I need him to know that actually I'm not attached to what I'm asking for. I'm willing to be flexible and collaborate and make it work for him. Right. So it's like I'm able to express the beauty of the desire of the culture that I want to create. Because that's like, if I can enjoy, like, that's the question to ask yourself. Like, if you can really visualize and enjoy talking about the culture of the relationship you want to create, like how awesome it is. Like the culture of the relationship that I just talked about is my version, but you have your own version, right? If you can enjoy that, trust that it's on its way and like really 100% feel excited that you deserve it, then you'll have it, right? So there's some limiting belief in the way to work through. But then underneath, it's about the deeper healing work of the inner child work. And so I was trained in a lot of emotional healing modalities, one of which is Hakomi, which is a somatic mindfulness-based practice. Because really, the difference between having a secure attachment style and anxious attachment style is not that you don't feel anxiety anymore. Like it's not, I mean, I don't know a human being on the planet that doesn't feel anxiety sometimes, right? And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. But what having a secure attachment style means is two things. It's the inner work that you don't identify with that voice of fear. You're willing to disidentify from it and say, I'm noticing that a part of me is saying that, and I'm going to be the compassionate parent towards that part of me and do the inner child work. And that's about revisiting old memories. Cause I've been, if old memories come up, I'm not saying they have to, like I said, it's just, I've coached many women to redo their beliefs about deserving just through the cognitive belief work, you know, or just the inner child work with the insight that you realize it's not your fault. Right. Cause like, I mean, the truth is we have two choices when we're little, right? We could believe that the reason that your dad was yelling at you or that he was a workaholic is because he didn't heal his own shame and he's an incompetent parent, right? Or you could believe that the reason that he's being mean to you is because you deserve it. And that's how you deserve to be treated. And that's what love must be.
You know, I want to just say here, like, even if you do see a parent as incompetent and just, you know, not good at communicating with children, like that's a far more empathetic choice. And I think when you can have empathy for the person who has hurt you, then you have empathy for yourself.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, I completely agree. And so that's the deeper healing work, is because as a child, we created the belief that there's something wrong with us because that actually saved our life. Because children are dependent. And so if you believe that your parent is incompetent when you're two, that's too scary because your nervous system can't handle that, because you would die if you really believed your parent was incompetent when you're two, because you know that you depend on them for survival.
Oh my God. Wow. Blowing my mind right now, because that's so true. Like no child could handle that.
Right.
So instead, what do we do?
Yeah. I mean, that's the pain that we have to be willing to feel, unfortunately, with self-compassion, because there's impact to us making this decision, but it's not our fault. and the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off kind of thing.
Right.
Right.
Now, I have a really deep question for you here. Okay. Because I love we're going there. We're peeling back the layers. Not everyone has a partner who wants to talk about how they feel or.
Yeah, totally.
Or that can even admit that they have something, that they're doing something that is sabotaging the relationship. And I can tell you, I speak from experience. Here's the following. I can catch my husband's anxiety. And I was doing all this work, all this somatic work, breathing work, holding positive images in my head. But when he comes around me and he is anxious, and I'll say, hey, how are you doing? He goes, I'm great. And I'm like, God, I need to like go to, you know, deep breathe for like an hour to shake this off. But like anxiety is contagious. Mm-hmm. Like we can catch someone else's anxiety. So let's say you are secure attachment style and you're around an anxious attachment style. Like, how do you handle that anxious energy? What can you do? If your partner's mm-hmm. anxious and you're mm-hmm. secure and you're constantly, you're getting a little tired of, you know, dealing with their anxieties, which happens.
So. Yeah, no, it does happen. And I mean, what I'll say about that, and this also has to do with the deeper healing work, you know, because you can't control who you're attracted to. Attraction isn't a choice. And so if you're attracted to somebody who you believe is not as evolved in you in some way, then there's a part of you that wants to be with them to heal something inside yourself or learn something yourself or grow yourself, because otherwise you wouldn't be attracted.
Mm-hmm. So they're here to teach you something. You just got to figure out what it is, right?
Right. Because otherwise you would leave, right? Like if, okay, you think they're below you, then leave. Like the question is, why don't you?
Some anxious attachment in there somewhere, right? Sure. Okay. Let me ask you on that same part. We're talking a little bit about observing our thoughts, you know, which is a huge part of this work. You know, observing what you're thinking, being able to zoom back, and instead of just, you know, knee-jerk reaction, have that animal respond that, you know, when I say animal, you know, like your reptilian brain or this is really about using your prefrontal cortex. This is about getting in touch with what you are thinking automatically that's giving you some sort of sensations or feelings. And so it's really like a detective work in a lot of ways for your own body.
Hi, everyone. This is Adrienne Everhart. If you're enjoying my podcast and also enjoy my YouTube channel, I suggest you go a little bit deeper into one of my self-study programs. I recommend everyone start with my ebook, 500 Ways to Talk to a Man. It also comes with a 2-day video class. This ebook has transformed the lives of so many women because I help you get aligned with your natural feminine energy and learn to speak and phrase your words in a way that really connects to a man's heart instead of challenging him with masculine energy. I can teach you so much more in my self-study programs. I have something for every topic that you may be interested in. And of course, New Man Manifesto, which is a 12-week manifesting course. It comes with homework and lots of extras. So head on over to my website, everheartcoaching.com, to learn more.
Exactly. And I mean, sorry, I want to just pause you there because so far we've talked about the belief work and the deeper healing work. But yes, there are just hacks to work with anxiety, like breathing exercises, EFT tapping, not the EFT emotionally focused therapy, which I also have been trained in, by the way, even though I'm not a therapist, which is an experiential body-centered modality. It's all about getting out of your head and into your body and just being willing to tolerate the sensations, because the research, like by Jill Bode Taylor, shows that if you're just willing to feel the sensation, Like, is it hot or cold, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you feel it in your body? And is it expansive or contractive? And does it have a color or shape, et cetera? And not believe the negative story, which is why I talked about the beliefs first, because you have to be willing to let it go enough to have that mindfulness where you can then say, I'm observing the sensations without trying to change them. The research shows that after 90 seconds, the sensation changes in intensity or changes it into something else. And then you can handle it. Like, that's like the experience of that belief that I can handle it is done through getting into our senses, right? Uh-huh. Getting into our five senses and just being able to tolerate the sensation and really open our heart to the sensation, which takes a lot of courage, right? So I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I know we've talked about a lot of like challenging your beliefs and then the deeper somatic and inner child work. And those are both important, but it doesn't have to be that deep, right? Like sometimes it's just about getting into your, come to your senses is actually a very intelligent saying.
I love that. How succinct. You know, this is all like just so great stuff. I hope everyone listening right now is just soaking this up like a sponge because, there's so often we want to change our partner. You know, we want them to change how they speak to us, change how they talk to us, change their routine, alter them so we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And behind all of that is like, we're not okay. Like, we're not okay the way things are, or like you said, we would leave. And then you don't really want to leave. There's something else, standing in mm-hmm. your way.
So right. And sometimes it is a legitimate reason why you can't leave, even though you're not attracted. I just want to say that. Like, absolutely. Sometimes there are. And I work with people in complicated situations, and there is always a solution, but sometimes it takes creativity and patience, right?
Absolutely. And we are not here to judge.
Right.
So whatever your situation is, it's personal, and it's always between you and the person you love. And that's
exactly,
exactly.
I didn't want people to think I thought it was simple, like just leave. Right. It's not that simple, no. But anyway.
I don't think anything we've been talking about so far sounds too simple. But, I do like just zooming back and also focusing on, and this is part of the parfait, this is part of that method I teach, which is like once you find your emotion, you can flip it over and you can find the positive of that emotion.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's amazing how you can take a situation and you can already identify it, like how that person's wrong, how they spoke to you or did the wrong thing or how they abandoned you or whatever it may be. You can totally find that. But if you really find your core emotion, there's usually like this flip side and you're like, oh my gosh, you have this new realization. And it's not about like bypassing your emotions or just convincing yourself to be an optimist. It really is like we have to step out of ourselves and see that there's something. So here's my question to you. What if we just dropped all the styles? What if we dropped, I am, a particular style?
Yeah, because styles are changeable anyway.
Okay. Tell us a little about that.
Oh, I mean, first of all, like I said, insecure attachment is not a pathology. I look at it as just a missing skill set because secure attachment is a skill set. The skills are to be a secure base and a safe haven for the other person and to learn how to do that. And of course, I could talk about that. But
can you say that again? I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah. So secure attachment is a skill set of having the skills of, and I'll talk a little bit more about it. A secure base basically is that you're both in a growth mindset and you want to be these partners to know that you can create more together than you each could on your own because two heads are better than one and you want to work together and create together. Knowing sexual energy is creative energy, right? And like if you create well together, then the passion stays alive, that sort of thing. And then knowing how to do that, it's a skill set. To be a safe haven means that if you need emotional support, you know your partner will be there when you need them. So that, and the research shows that if you do have a secure attachment, people think like, oh, well, then you won't grow because you'll just be comfortable at home, right? But the thing is, the research shows that the people that have a secure attachment, that they actually are more successful, they make more money, they achieve their goals more often because if you know that if you make a mistake, you'll have the support to get over it, you take, you dream bigger and you take bigger risks, right? You take more risks. So anyway, like that's, people with avoidant attachment believe that independence is better than interdependence. Like we shouldn't need anyone. And so like that belief system is what I educate avoidant attachment people with, that like, actually, like you get more done if you have secure attachment, not the opposite. Cause a lot of people with attachment avoid their feelings with work.
Yes. And then you, you know, even I'm reaching out to you to do this podcast with me, it becomes about what can we do instead of what can I do?
Exactly.
So you're going to be able to do a lot more. You know, you mentioned, I don't want to interrupt your thought, but you mentioned that skill set to create.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, what if you have a partner who they don't have that skill set? Like they had fairly pretty okay parents. There's no huge trauma in their life, or maybe there is a huge trauma in their life. Maybe they have had, you know, alcoholic parents. They've had some sort of something, but they just don't have that skill set, because there takes a certain amount of, you know, cognitive, you know, you've got to work on this stuff. What if your partner just doesn't understand this and they don't have that skill set to create?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think ultimately what it comes down to is the intersection between it's okay if they don't know it yet, but are they willing to learn?
Mm-hmm.
And how much patience are you willing to have while they learn, you know, because learning takes time.
So can one of you really help the other one, you know, because I'm a big believer in like, don't teach a man, don't train him, don't coach him, because it's a huge turnoff for them. How would a woman go about getting their guy interested in learning more about, you know, being that creative team? How would that happen? How can one of you do that?
That is such a good question. And I love that you asked that question, especially since you specialize in teaching about feminine energy and feminine communication. Because I'm sure you would have the same answer I would, right?
Like, I don't know.
It's not about teaching him anything, right? It's about you going down through the layers of your own parfait. Mm-hmm. Right. And I like to say that, like, that inspiring vision that you have is like the fruit at the bottom of the parfait.
Oh, yum.
I just like thought about that this morning. I was like, oh, I have to say that.
That sounds delicious.
Right. I know it is. But that's the point, is that it actually is. And because the fear is that if we get to the most beautiful part of our vision, like, that's really vulnerable. It's really vulnerable to share our deeper vision and desires, because if we're rejected, then it'll hurt more, right? But the only way to influence him is to share what we desire and what it provides for us, right? Not wanting him to change. And that's, I mean, I love to speak about the topic of how to inspire a man to want to meet your needs, because so many popular teachers, like Pat Allen, for example, say feminine energy is not about asking for what you want. It's about saying what you don't want. But I think that it's about asking for what you want in a flexible way.
Yeah.
Which you can only do if you have the courage to believe that there's more than one way, right? Which takes this expanding, this spaciousness around our feelings that we can handle, you know, the discomfort that it takes to be flexible and be patient. I hate patience, right? Patience is like the hardest part about this for me.
It really is, because, you know, we are all working on our own little schedule and clock. And I talk about anxiety, like patience is a huge one. You know, I love what you said about, you know, what Pat Allen shares versus, you know, what some of a little bit, what you and I both believe in. Because I do a little bit of both. I make sure my partner knows, oh, that felt so good, which means I have to keep up with what felt bad.
Exactly. Like, which does take courage.
Yeah. Because
it is vulnerable. I want to say it's vulnerable. And I think that's the difference between, like, a lot of teachers teach about the importance of being vulnerable, and vulnerability is courage. But I think talk about the importance of not making a man wrong, and that if you share your unpleasant feelings without context, that most men feel like you're making them wrong, and then they feel guilty, right? And so, like, that's about having the courage to shift our vibe into positive vulnerability, which is, it's really, really scary to admit what we most deeply desire. It really is.
Yeah. And you are talking about something that I receive comments on every day, which are women who say, why should I change myself for this man?
Oh my God. Like, I love that question too.
Now, how do you answer? Because I usually say, like, you're actually not changing yourself. You're leveling up. You're getting in touch with this more vulnerable, authentic, honest part of yourself. But what do you, how do you like to answer that question when women say, I shouldn't have to change how I speak, so my husband's going to be okay.
No. And first of all, there's, if you're doing it because he's going to be okay, then that's codependent. Like, I'm assuming that he's already okay.
Maybe he's not going to react. He's not going to get loud or angry or not talk to me all night, or, respond some way. Like, men can often, pout and go to the cave, as they say.
So right.
How would you address that question about changing yourself and speaking right. in a different way, finding that vulnerability so that you can communicate more clearly with your masculine energy partner?
Exactly. And that's the mindset shift that I help women make in that case, because most of my one-on-one clients are women, although I do work with some men. But you're not changing for him. That's not the reason to change. And in fact, if you do change for him, then the change will be superficial, because you're focusing on the outer work, not the inner work. And the inner work is about recognizing that I don't see things the way they are. I see things, and this is, the neurolinguistic programming aspect of it. I see things through my filters of my belief system, my value system, my programming, right? Like, and this is why, in my opinion, when I help women to do the deeper healing work, then, because this is a solution. I get a lot of clients, you probably do too, where they're like, well, the men I'm attracted to aren't attracted to me, and the men I'm attracted to, they're not attracted to me, right? It's that we're attracted to the people that match our level of healing, right? And so, it's all going on unconsciously. So if you don't believe that you deserve anything better, then you're going to attract, for example, if you believe you need a man to be happy, then you're going to attract a man who's the polar opposite, who thinks he doesn't need a relationship to be happy, and he wants you to be more independent. That's why anxious attachment people are usually attracted to avoidance. You don't know it at first. They just seem confident at first, right? It's all going on unconsciously. That's the point. You don't find this out until you're already committed and it's already too late, right? It's just like,
What's so interesting? I remember I talk about the artist, and all of my fans, all of my diamond girls know I've spoken about the artist, this, guy. And I will never forget when I would speak to him, first few time I met him at a bar and I was speaking to him, he was doing this.
Yeah.
He was already pulling away. And it's like, he was driving me crazy doing this, and I didn't know it, but it was sending me all of those signals that I'm not available. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make you available. Like, I'm going to fix you,
Exactly. And so the thing is, we can't change who we're attracted to, like I said, And so if we keep getting attracted to men who aren't right for us, it's the deeper healing work that's important, because it's not for him. It's because otherwise I'm trapped keeping on being attracted to, because I can leave him and then the next guy won't seem like him at first. But then if I don't do the deeper healing work, eventually I'll be caught in the same problem with the next guy, because the problem is within me, not within the guy, right? And you don't have to believe that. It's just experience that'll show if that's true or not, right? Because maybe that's not true, and I only attract the women that see the patterns, right? Which is why my free gift is break free of old patterns to attract healthy love.
Yes. Right? And we're nearing at the end of our time. First off, I have so enjoyed speaking with you today. I would love to have you back on my show at some point, and maybe we can talk a little bit about who we're attracted to. And you say that that's unchanging. I work with women on dialing in their man picker.
Yes.
So sometime I would love to have you come back and speak a little bit more about this. I think you have so much more to share. And
totally.
If you're watching this on YouTube, like, definitely use the comments below to tell us some topics that you would like to hear from Valerie and myself. And if you're listening to this on my podcast, I have a comment section all. I'd love to hear from you. Valerie, tell us how people can get in touch with you and what services you offer. And definitely remind us again about your free gift to all my listeners.
Yes, thank you. I'll start with my free gift because I do want to say that if all of this seems like it's complex, I do consider myself someone who likes to boil things down. And so my free gift contains a 5-step process that I call self-empathy, which comes from the nonviolent communication practice, but I just integrate different things together. And it's a practice to shift your vibe from being angry or disappointed that you're not getting what you want in order to be able to communicate this positive vision of what you do want. And it's a practice to be able to shift anxiety into that courage to be able to speak your deeper desires. And so that's in the free gift called Break Free of Old Patterns to Attract Healthy Love. But my website is just coachvaleriegreen.com, which you said you'll put there. And I specialize in one-on-one coaching because that's what I love doing the most. I just love, I feel like I've studied so many different modalities, from the superficial to the deep and everywhere in between. And I love customizing the work and customizing programs for what really helps people the most. That's just what I love. But I also run a group for women. And it specializes in attachment, the group, even though that's not what I advertise it as. That's what I always wind up focusing on in the group. Sure. So I should probably just change the advertising. Sure. I do also have a book called The Commitment Roadmap, From Dating to a Lifetime of Love, and an online course called Manifest Lasting Love for women that are in a committed relationship, and he's just pulling away. So lots of I love working with people in all stages of relationship. I do have niches, but I have 4 niches, right?
So uh-huh.
I feel like I love the variety of people that I help in the variety of situations.
Excellent. All right. Valerie, thank you so much for just coming on the show and sharing all of your wisdom and your energy. I think everyone really, really appreciates everything you've had to say. Thank you so much. And I hope to have you back again soon.
Yeah, likewise. It's such a joy for me.
All right. See you soon.
You are invited to join my online coaching community. I have a private online coaching community where I teach monthly classes. I have guest coaches, guest speakers, moderators, and so much to share with you. You can join as a member on a monthly basis and cancel at any time. You can post questions, help others where you can lend an answer, and access our library list of growing classes and workshops. There's so much fun in this group, and I especially love the supportive community. It's on a monthly basis, so you can join and cancel at any time. Head on over to diamondgirl.me/group. That's diamondgirl.me/group. I can't wait to see you over at iHeartLove Academy.